Hey folks, welcome back to the Live Everything Podcast. This is your host, Trevious Caldwell. Hey, I really appreciate you hitting that button, spending your time with me today. I hope you enjoy what you hear. And if you do, and if you like it, subscribe to it and share it. And let me know if you need any elaboration on what I'm talking about. I spend a lot of time trying to share my experiences with you and other folks who I otherwise wouldn't come in contact with. So I hope this helps you become a better you. It certainly helps me become a better me. And I hope you enjoy what you hear. Thanks. So I want to put something out a couple of days before the 30-year anniversary of Nas's Illmatic album. This is my reflection of reading Illmatic for 30 years, a reflection about how I'm trying to incorporate this into my dissertation, really center this reading as my dissertation, which is to say that I am arguing for a new way of reading African-American literature, an Illmatic way of reading. So this should be really interesting. So I hope you enjoy what you hear. I hope if you've not listened to Illmatic, you go ahead and check it out. Maybe purchase the album or go to YouTube and listen to it. It is it's clearly prophetic. And I hope this reflection resonates with you as it did with me. And stay tuned for a longer podcast which explores the depths of this topic. So enjoy. So April 19th, 2024 is the 30-year anniversary of Nas's Illmatic album, one of the arguably one of the best rap albums of all time. This is my reflection, 30 years reading Illmatic. I read Illmatic when I was 12 years old. You heard that right. In fact, I read Illmatic before I heard Nas rap. I later learned his full name, Nasir Ben Olu Dara Jones. But it wasn't until 30 years later, this year, that I really started to grasp what Nas was getting at. It took me 30 years to understand what Nasir Jones had to say. 3 decades to realize that Illmatic is truly its own realm, a unique form of expression, a way of seeing, hearing, and thinking. So bear with me. Growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, trap before trap music were the sounds of UGK, 8-Ball and MJG, Outkast, and Kilo G. I was only 12 years old when I encountered these rappers in their southern drawl. I remember trying to figure out if this was indeed the southern playlistic Cadillac funky music that Andre Benjamin and Big Boy proclaimed. Or maybe it was simply a soundtrack describing my world in the Allen Temple Housing Projects. For context, listen to Killer Mike's track Exit 9 on his Grammy Award winning album Michael. Growing up in the projects in Atlanta was an adventure. The soundtrack sounding my world was side A of almost any cassette tape that described my hood. Flipping that tape to side B proved the worthiness of voices able to stand in for my silent observation of disorder and chaos. I remember trying hard to decipher lyrics through those cheap, near rusted and wired headphones. The wire on my right ear was always shorted, and I vividly remember the static blocking MJG's voice on the 1994 track On the Outside Looking In. I surely remember the line ringing in my left ear. The system is my house. The system is my home, designed to keep a brother on his back. I spent a lot of time trying to parse that line and my situation in that system. In 1994, only 12 years of age, I remember cutting class to print out the lyrics of Nas's debut album, Illmatic. This is vivid for me because I remember wanting new headphones for my birthday, which is April 18th. Nas's album was released the next day, Tuesday, April 19th, 1994. I was not yet old enough to go to Sam Goody and stand in line to buy the cassette tape. My best friend Jerrion and I did later that year, during those memorable times when No Limit Records ran the streets. Tuesdays were the album day release, and Cash Money Records dominated. Master P dominated those weeks. Anyway, I read Nas's lyrics because my headphones didn't work. I had no money to buy the cassette, and even if I did, the bootlegger at the grocery store only sold tapes from LaFace Records. And so I read Nas's lyrics, and I'm glad I did. Feeling liberated, those words opened the door of cultural literacy that I've taken for granted for far too long. I wasn't so interested in poetry and literature back then. And little did I know, comparing Nas's lyrics to MJG's was in fact comparative analysis. My close reading of those lyrics was textual analysis. My later coupling of his sound with the African-American literary tradition was indeed intertextual. Nas's lyrics explained MJG's declarations in a much more eloquent and poetic way. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, because you never know when you're going to go. Life's a bitch. Writing in my book of rhymes, all the words past the margin. I hold a block, I'm throbbing, mechanical movement, understandable smooth shit that murderers moved with. The world is yours. Time is ill-matic, keep static like wool fabric. Pack a four-matic to crack your whole cabbage. Life's a bitch. When I learned that a 16-year-old authored these lines, I became obsessed with thinking about place and space. How is it that the reading of these lyrics lifted me from that housing project in Atlanta, Georgia, to Queens, New York? I had no cassette tape to flip, only words on a page. And when I finally got the cassette, I was struck at how Nas signaled the flip to side B with a fifth track titled Halftime. How did he know about my trying to find a voice to explain the projects? Did he know about the static in my right ear? Where was Queensbridge Projects anyway? Why did he call it a dungeon of rap? And who was this Jamaican queen he talked about as both a place and a person? I remember pondering these questions and trying to learn how a 16-year-old boy that I'd never met piqued my curiosity more than my 7th grade English teacher. I'm now quite certain that an 8th grade dropout and a son of a Natchez, Mississippi blues man became my language arts teacher. I learned metaphor, symbolism, parallelism, and Marcus Garvey from Nas. I learned about Angela Davis, George and Jonathan Jackson, and Gandhi from Nas. He taught me about William Cooper, J. Edgar Hoover, and Willie Lynch, too. Why hadn't I heard these names in my grade school? In this way, I learned to listen while reading before I learned the sound of my own inner voice. That computer lab became my classroom, and Nas was a teacher of philosophy and interdisciplinary studies. I've been reading Illmatic for nearly 30 years now. My headphones are fixed, and my reading became a listening act long ago. Illmatic has become a 30-year seminar in linguistics, ontology, epistemology, sociology, blues aesthetics, sound studies, and hip-hop literature. Currently, I'm exploring Illmatic practices at Duke University, using the album's poetry to read notable protagonists like Ludi in Ann Petrie's The Street, or Bigger Thomas in Richard Wright's Native Son, Invisible in Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man, even Joe Trace, Frank Money, and Paul D in the work of Toni Morrison. To read Illmatically is to reimagine those characters as part and parcel of a system of disorder and chaos. Illmatic is a poetic treatise, rendering invisible men and women perceptible as it reconstitutes memory. The early portion of my Illmatic seminar focused on linguistics, phonetics, and phonology in tracks like New York State of Mind. No matter the place, I could always close my eyes and visit New York, blaring through that ominous bass and thumping percussion. The cityscape appears under Nas's raspy and clearly East Coast accent. The vowel sounds are distinctive. It dropped deep as it does in my breath. I never sleep because sleep is the cousin of death. I'm sure this line helped me to understand Shakespeare's infamous Hamlet speech. To be or not to be, that is the question. To die, to sleep, to sleep. Perchance to any dream, ay, that's the rub. Was Shakespeare rhyming too? After all, his plays were memorized and performed as well. Semantics represented another lesson in linguistics in my Nasian seminar. Nas toyed with nouns and verbs to depict Queensbridge as both a dungeon of rap and a setting for poetic oration. In New York State of Mind and Memory Lane, Sitting in the Park, Nas writes, "Sentences begin indented with formality. My duration's infinite, money-wise or physiology. Poetry, that's a part of me, retardedly, bop. I dropped the ancient manifested hip-hop straight off the block." Reading this at 14 years of age confused me because so many people acted as if inner-city black people could not read or write. They assumed that because our test scores did not reach a national average, somehow we were not clearly learning. This 8th grade dropout clearly understood something that so many people didn't. I understood something that I could not articulate then, as Trisha Rose describes, quote, "Hip-hop, rap is propelled by Afro-diasporic traditions." Aside from linguistics, the ontological aspect of the Nasian seminar was especially refreshing. Ontology is a branch of metaphysics dealing with what it means to be in the world. Perhaps the most quoted line on the album is "Life's a bitch and then you die." I remember reading this thinking that maybe cutting class wasn't such a bad thing after all. It explained why so many teenagers loitered on my block and sold drugs, why junkies and crackheads told jokes to kids as we cut school. It also explained Reaganism and other political actions targeting people of color. In one line, Nas flipped my sense of time completely on his head. Time is illmatic, keep static like wool fabric. How did he know about my struggle to hear through my right ear, as if something was being kept from me? That phrase has looped in my head for nearly 30 years, and I've tried to navigate the world with that advice, trying pensively to hear the low frequency of his rhyme, continually trying to understand sound as a proxy for being. I've carried the lesson of that bar through three wars while in the Army, and in many homes in several countries, in respective university classrooms, and even in the halls of Angola and Eastern Correctional Facility where I briefly taught. Nasty Nas is known everywhere. Folks know his music. They do not, however, know his father, Olu Dara. They do not truly know hip-hop because few listens illmatically. This revelation came only through the third measure of my Nasian seminar, epistemology. This is the study of knowledge and a matter of perspective. I learned this concept even before I understood its power. In 1994, Tila Rock debuted a track called "It's Yours." The opening verse is linguistically everything. Commenting, illustrating, description given, adjective expert, analyzing, surmising, music myth-seeking people of the universe, this is yours. He was only 23 years of age when he articulated a formula for world-building. Inspired by this declaration to an already poetic people, Nas penned the track "The World Is Yours," sampling and scratching Tila Rock on the chorus. The affirmation, "The world is yours," empowered me to dream. So when Nas raps, "The world is yours, the world is yours," I reply, "It's mine, it's mine, it's mine." I remember thinking about that third track too. If life's a bitch, but the world is mine, then maybe there's something to gain. Knowledge transformed into a journey, cultivating my pursuit of enlightenment. I unearthed wisdom at every corner, beyond the confines of my classroom, and within that very ether of sound. I know that the work Nas performed on that album is transcendent. His voice is as suspended as that transparent and ghostly picture on the cover art of the album. Almost 30 years later, I understand the ways Illmatic informs my perspective. To read life and literature in an Illmatic way is to acknowledge the machinery of chaos that constitute the trap, hood, block, or any other environment where every twist and turn reveals a narrative woven with grit, struggle, and raw authenticity. Illmatic isn't even in the dictionary. It's a neologism avoiding capture, uncontainable, a hermeneutic, epistemological, mechanical, chaotic. It is everything. Illmatic is a way of knowing and ordering chaos. Illmatic ordered chaos, the chaos of Queensbridge in 1994. Of course, my explanation took Illmatic time, ebbing and flowing through social historical critique while navigating collisions of new knowledge in real time. AZ put it smartly on the third track of the album, visualizing the realism of life and actuality. 30 years ago, Nas debuted a short album that many artists continually try to replicate. Illmatic is only 10 songs, yet that book of rhymes is a knowledge system all its own. Nas's poetics signal genius, a manifestation of the sublime, like some godly thing created. A 30-year seminar, still attending.